And now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, a program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. Always glad you can join me. I know you're busy running to and fro. This is the program and the ministry that likes to look at news, views, and inconvenient truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. Heading into our 12th year now, let me just sort of set the stage for what's going to happen the next couple of hours by giving a short, well, an introduction, setting the stage, whatever, because many of you know that in August, Glenn Beck hosted an event he called Restoring Courage, and he brought several thousand friends of Israel to Israel for a week of rallies showing support for the beleaguered nation, a nation that truly has very few friends left. Now, Glenn appeared to have a zeal for God's land and people, more so than most of the churches today. For most of the church today believes in a theology that the church has replaced Israel with the promises of God. That's known as replacement theology. And we're going to learn today that Glenn Beck has his own brand of replacement theology. And it has to do with the calling and purposes and goals of the Mormon Church. Sometimes those of us who are sounding just a little bit of a caution here, including Ed Decker, who's on deck with me today, and Jack Kinsella, and others, and if we blow the horn here, as it tells us to do in Ezekiel 33:6, folks get a little unhappy with us on this particular issue. And part of that is because many, including everyone participating today, really does appreciate some of the spot-on analysis that Glenn engages in as it comes to what's happening to America. And for that matter, he's even warning the church. He says he's one of the few with a national platform, that is a national platform with millions, who's willing to tell the church, look, run from your church if they're promoting neo-Marxist Jim Wallace. Evangelicals are linking with Jim Wallace right now in their circle of protection, telling the government not to cut spending for the poor. So it's okay for evangelicals and Marxists to unite, and Mormon Glenn Beck is telling the church, don't do that. So who else is willing to tell this kind of brutal truth? As well as what we have in America right now, which is a blatant attempt to implement the evil of the Cloward and Piven plan to overwhelm our government system with spending and entitlement demands and cause America to fall into the arms of the promoters of socialism and Marxism. That's what's going on, folks. That's, again, the brutal truth. And Glenn's been telling us about that for the last couple of years. Who else is telling us? If the status quo is allowed to continue in a very short time, we will fall into the hands. Absolute reckless people who are caught up in debauchery, the nation will be unrecognizable. So Glenn is an inconvenient truth teller, and we do appreciate that with him. But he does have another agenda. And one of my guests today, Ed Decker, has sounded that alarm on this program before. Ed is a former Mormon. Another one of my guests is Jack Kinsella. Jack was present at the Restoring Courage event in August and came home with his eyes open, and he regrets he didn't tell folks before he went, but then he wasn't fully aware, and if he hadn't gone, he wouldn't be where he is today, aware of the things that took place at that event and why some things just are not, well, they're not lining up the way we all thought they might do. What we're going to be talking today is a little bit about what comes down to a bottom line known as Mormon Zionism. And we're also sounding a call for discernment because we don't want to turn this into a Beck bashing program. We are not speaking with that kind of a tone in mind, with that kind of sentiment in mind. We are sounding an alarm that if you are not getting your discernment toolkit out, you might be snowed by a lot of things. So might I. So might my guests. Also in studio with me in this particular segment is Heidi Swander. Heidi's been with the ministry since 2007. Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
We're going to have a round-robin discussion. And folks, you're along for the ride. I hope it will be not a wild ride, but an informative ride. And we're going to be looking at the event in Israel. We're also going to be asking former Mormon Ed Becker, can you sort through all of this for us one at a time? First, let me introduce my good friend, Jack Kinsella. Jack, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jan. How are you?
Good. All right. Ed Decker, again, welcome back. You were with me a year ago, and you were on with Eric Barger a few months ago. Nice to have you back.
Glad to be here.
Let's see, where to begin this journey? I'm going to turn to Jack. I will introduce you and talk with you sort of individually, and I'll be bouncing your name around. But listen, if you want to jump in and say something, you need to do that. But Jack, let's go back to the beginning. You didn't even really want to go on this trip. Friends invited you to go, all expenses paid. You had a hesitation. On the other hand, you felt the Lord was calling you to be a part of this, correct?
Pretty much. Usually when I really don't want to do something, and the Lord clears everything out of the way, it's best to go do it. And that's kind of what this was all about. My friends had asked me to go along. They wanted my take on Glenn Beck and what was going on, and so we went.
All right. Once you got there, let me ask you this. How long did it take for you to just sense that something wasn't quite right?
We knew that something wasn't quite right pretty much right after we landed, you know, the way that the buses were distributed out. And I wasn't expecting it to be, any kind of a religious situation because it was political. I mean, this was something from the Glenn Beck show. So I was kind of surprised to find that so many of the people on the bus were connected with the LDS.
And how did you find out that so many were connected with the Church of Latter-day Saints?
One of the first things that they did was they asked for a show of hands for everybody that wanted to tour Brigham Young University while we were there.
Ed Decker, does the Mormon Church have some kind of a center in the Jerusalem area?
Yes, they do. And some years ago when it was in the planning stage to be built, there was quite a lot of controversy. They built this on Mount Scopus, and they were offending many, many Jews by it because the Jews who understood Mormonism knew about the many gods, and they felt that was a great offense to Israel. Mm-hmm. I was invited by the Israeli government to come and clear up some of the doctrinal issues regarding Mormonism. And one of the key things, I was actually speaking at the Knesset to a fairly large crowd of people, and I revealed that Teddy Kosek, who was the mayor at the time, had been given was approximately several million dollars worth of stock in a Mormon-owned company as part of the deal. It was given to him personally, and he became quite enraged about that during the meeting when I revealed that. And it was a very controversial thing, but the Mormons built it anyway.
Okay, I think it was Mayor Teddy Kollek. What year was that in?
I can't remember. It's been probably 15 years ago.
Okay, but first of all, are they doing any proselytizing, the Mormon?
Well, that was one of the things. They claimed they didn't come to proselytize, but I had gotten my hands on some of the proselytizing materials and materials written in Hebrew that they were preparing to do the proselytizing in Israel, and that was one of the things that created a lot of the major stink. They signed an agreement, I think, at that time that they would not proselytize, and while they don't proselytize, their presence is strong there, and they use it as a extension of BYU now, and so they have a lot of studies going on over there all the time.
All right, and this doesn't bother the Israeli people?
Well, it bothers the Orthodox Jews quite a bit, because they know that the Mormons have an agenda for Israel, and that the Mormons believe they are the true Jews. This morning I went through the Mormon hymn book, and I must have yanked out 15, 20 different hymns about come to Zion, Israel, Israel, God is calling, O saints of Zion, we will sing of Israel, you know, and all these different hymns that are all part of the Mormon DNA, that they are part of the gathering of Israel, and that Israel is their inheritance because they're the true chosen people, they're the true Jews.
But Jack Kinsella, this was not overtly or blatantly told to the audience participating in Restoring Courage, obviously. This was not in any way verbalized.
No, it was completely hidden. Glenn Beck had announced that part of that when he was talking about the trip, he promoted it as a trip where everything was going to be five-star hotels and through this terrific travel company that he recommended. And so I went to the travel company that he recommended, which was Voyager Travel, and there was nothing there connecting. You know, it didn't even seem to be connected to Glenn Beck. I didn't notice the address was in Utah. That was my oversight. I was in Tiberias, and the schedule on the tour kept changing, so I was Googling the Voyager to see if I could find anything out about it there. And what I noticed was directly below it was then the second hit. The first one was Voyager. The second hit in Google was LDS Travel. I clicked on that, and it was the identical website, only with a different, even the colors in the logo were the same. It's just one said Voyager, the other said LDS. And the Voyager one was completely scrubbed of anything to do with LDS, and the LDS Travel one was all about touring North American sacred places, which, of course, refers to what Ed was talking about them thinking that this is really the place Jesus is going to return to. So anyway, it was just stunning to me that he would begin a tour with that's devoted to restoring courage and standing up for Israel and telling the truth, and do it with a lie.
Just a recap here. I'm going to try and play the part of the listener here who's trying to put it together. I'm hearing that Glenn invited people to come to Israel under the auspices of supporting Israel through a travel agency that ended up having Mormon connections. And you get off the plane, you get on the bus, and immediately are asked how many people want to go visit Brigham Young University, which is obviously Mormon. So right away, we've got some issues with this that has nothing to do with supporting Israel.
Correct.
All right. Jack, you may have said this on air, or else you may have said it in your column. And folks, let me just give a little word here about both of my guests, Jack Kinsella. You can learn a lot more at omegaletter.com. And he produces a daily e-newsletter, which I get and Heidi gets. And I encourage you to sign up for that and do that at omegaletter.com. Ed Decker was a Mormon for many years. I want you to look up his website and get a lot more information, books, DVDs, etc., at saintsalive.com, saintsalive.com. So Jack sent out his e-newsletter. This would have been a couple weeks ago now. And that's the e-newsletter that kind of gave a little overview of what he had experienced on the Restoring Courage trip. And, of course, my antenna went up right away because I've been so concerned about this Restoring Courage. I mean, it seemed to me there was going to be a hidden agenda, and I was not able to sort out what the hidden agenda might be. And also, just a quick clarification that this program, again, we're not here to bash Glenn. We're not here to bash Mormons. We'd like to love them to Jesus Christ, and we don't mean to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But I believe, Jack, you said or indicated somewhere that Glenn is on a mission to legitimize Mormonism and make it equal with traditional biblical Christianity, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
It seems to me that that's what his agenda appears to be. I don't know. It's not that I'm privy to any secret meetings or anything, but mm-hmm. in watching what he's doing, when he was speaking in Caesarea, when he, with tears in his eyes, he pointed out, he talked about what a wonderful reception he'd received from everyone except for
yes.
one or two Christians that he intimated were intolerant because they dared to question his salvation. That's been pretty much a central theme of everything. Whenever he starts to talk about his religion, he immediately claims that he's a Christian and then argues that anyone that would question that would be intolerant. It reminds me a lot of another religion where if you question anything they say, you're being very intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own Jesus, just as the Mormons have their own Jesus, and both of them claim that it's my Jesus.
Yeah.
And they're not recognizable. They're not interchangeable.
Well, he would use the term, we Christians, and when I was watching online, and Mike Evans was participating, John Hagee, David Barton, we'll say more about that just a little bit later, and I believe it was Mike Evans who asked how many in the congregation and the attendees were Christians. Many, many raised their hands, and Glenn raised his hand. So, Ed, Mormons consider themselves Christians. Would that be a fair statement?
It's a very fair statement. They believe they are the true Christians. They believe that Christianity was destroyed. There was no power or authority on earth, and it required a restoration. I mean, they're a restorationist theology, and that God had to speak to a young man named Joseph Smith to restore mm-hmm. the truth, and God appeared to Joseph along with Jesus physically, which should have been a warning. But they appeared to him and said that all the churches were false, that their creeds were filthy, an abomination in his eyes, and that all those who taught it were corrupt. I learned as a Mormon in the Mormon temple ritual that Christian pastors, Protestant and Catholic, all alike, any group resembling Christianity, their pastors were hirelings of Satan. And again, the Book of Mormon says that there are two churches only. One is the Church of the Lamb of God, the Mormon Church, and all the rest are part of the great whore of Babylon, the whore of all the earth. And so their theology is that they are the only true Christians, and that we have some truths, but they have a knowledge that's above us, and they have corrected all the false teachings that have crept in over the years since Christ's time. And so they are the only Christians. We are sort of in the outskirts of Christianity, and they send out their missionaries to bring the world into the truth. And that's why they have 50, 60, 70,000 missionaries
mm-hmm.
at a time, and every member a missionary.
All right. Well, we have others calling Glenn a Christian Zionist, and I'm not going to name this gentleman the clip I'm going to play. I actually serve on his board of advisors, and I've alerted him that I'm in serious disagreement with what he's saying here, but I don't wish to harm the ministry by naming it. But I think we're going to hear what some people in the pro-Israel community are thinking, and my hunch is John Hagee feels this way because he was participating. Go ahead.
Glenn Beck, as you may know, has just completed a very highly publicized tour of Israel, culminating with some meetings in the temple area. And during those meetings, he said this. He said, "The truth is that in Israel, there's more courage in one square mile than in all of Europe. In Israel, there's more courage in one Israeli soldier than in the combined and cold hearts of every bureaucrat in the United Nations. In Israel, you can find people who will stand against incredible odds, against the entire tide of global opinion, for what is right and good and true. Israel's not a perfect country. No country is perfect, but it tries and is courageous. Now, there have been those among Christians who've questioned the spiritual credentials of Glenn Beck because he's a Mormon. But I'm reminded of the account that's given to us in the Gospel of Mark. The disciples came to Jesus. They said to him, "Teacher, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not one of us." And Jesus responded by saying this, "Do not stop him. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us." And I say, Glenn Beck is for us, and he is for Israel. And I think we should be exceedingly glad about that. Caroline Glick covered Glenn Beck's trip to Israel and his meetings there. And she's very astute. She is probably the most astute commentator in her analysis of all things Israel. I look to her and welcome what she has to say. She said this regarding Beck's visit there. "In general, the Israeli media responded to Beck's visit either as a non-event or distorted who Beck is and what he is trying to do." She went on to say, Israel's media didn't come to their hatred of Beck on their own. Most of it is fueled by American Jewish leftists. And then she goes on to identify Beck as a Christian Zionist. She says this, "In truth, the media's embrace of Israel's enemies, their rejection of Beck, and most important, Beck's refusal to bow to their conventional wisdom, that Israel's enemies should be praised and its friends should be condemned, all reveal the reason that Christian Zionists," listen to this, "this reveals the reason that Christian Zionists can be trusted and embraced by Israelis." She goes on to say, "Christian Zionists, like Jewish religious Zionists, are unmoved by the media's intimidation because of their faith in God and their reliance on the scriptures. Their faith provides them with a means of judging reality that is independent of their largely post-religious intellectual commissariat that runs the media and the cultural elite of the world. They don't seek, nor do they care about receiving the accolades of the New York Times or other post-religious totems for their actions. Christian Zionist, I would remind you, is one who supports the modern state of Israel as a partial fulfillment of God's covenant promise to provide a national homeland for the Jewish people. I say partial because it will only be ultimately fulfilled when Jesus the Messiah comes and establishes his millennial kingdom. But until then, we need to welcome the ranks of Glenn Beck's into our ranks as Christian Zionists. He's one of us, and we can be grateful for him. So until next week, Od Yavo Shiloh, until Messiah comes, Shalom Aleichem.
Okay, that was a leader of a pro-Israel, a Christian Zionist type of an organization, and he quoted Caroline Glick, who even called Glenn a Christian Zionist, that she is an Israeli. Jack Kinsella, how would you differ with that based on what you experienced in Israel?
Wow. If there's anything, it really gives me a sense of how easy it's going to be for the Antichrist mm-hmm. to deceive the world. All you have to do is say the right things. I'm not in any way equating Beck with the Antichrist, but I'm reluctant to do anything to damage the political movement that Glenn Beck has largely started.
Amen.
And so because of that, I pretty much looked away from all of this. Mormon, as being a Mormon, as being sort of irrelevant. And then when I hear somebody else do it, I really feel ashamed.
Well, you said, Beck, you thought Beck probably was a social Mormon and that he was secretly perhaps a born-again Christian, and that it was not my place to judge, that he awakened the hidden patriotism that became the Tea Party, and so on. And then you say, Jack, I was enamored of Beck's defense of the Constitution and of the founders as anybody. I have always believed that the founders were, if not divinely inspired, certainly divinely ordained. And I do think, Ed, would you agree that this is the way a lot of people are perceiving Mormonism today, and that we think that a lot of them are social Mormons only, and they could even truly be Christian brothers and sisters?
Well, yeah, of course. First off, the core of Mormonism is the Mormon temple, and only 30% of the Mormons in the whole world are worthy enough to get into the Mormon temple. So they're not participants to some of the things that Glenn Beck or Ed Decker had been party to, and the oaths and the things that we did to prepare ourselves for actual godhood. So you're dealing with a lot of people who are cultural Mormons, the third and fourth generation,
right,
particularly the younger people who have access to the web. I want to point out one thing. Glenn keeps talking about being a Christian, that he's saved, and yet just after he returned from his out of the country tour, he spoke at I will not name a church, but he spoke at a Baptist church in Texas, and he talked about how much he loved Jesus and how much he loved the Lord, and he got some tears going and some sobbing, and then he said, He saved me, and every day, see, this is the qualifier. Every day I work on my salvation. That's the Mormon salvation, where Jesus lets you get into the door of salvation, but to be saved personally, you have to work out your salvation as Jesus did. And when you stand before the judgment table, all your works are laid out and all your sins are laid out, but they don't call them sins, they call them transgressions. All your transgressions and all your works are laid out, and what that balance turns out to be is where, you know, what your personal salvation level will be. They have 3 degrees of heaven, and which degree that you end up in because of your works and your transgressions, not the salvation of the Christian world.
I have a question. It would seem to me, from what I've been learning since I got back, it would seem to me Jesus isn't even really necessary. It's like he's tacked on to Mormonism. He doesn't actually serve any purpose. He's not even much of a figurehead.
Well, we believe that Jesus suffered for our sins, that he was voted to be Jesus, or they voted to be the Savior by a council of gods in our pre-existent world, a place called Kolob, and the Mormon God and all of his wives and children in the spirit world live in a planet near the great star Kolob. So he was sent to the earth by a vote, and when he got here, he pointed the way. He wasn't the way. He suffered for our sins in Gethsemane, conditional upon our obedience to all the laws and ordinances of the Mormon gospel. His death on Calvary gives all mankind, no matter who they are, physical resurrection to work out their salvation themselves and their physical resurrection. They are then to be judged for their works. So you get resurrected by Jesus' death, but then everything that you did in your lifetime is judged to determine which degree of glory you end up or earn, or whether you end up out in the outer darkness, wherever. And so it's a works program, and it only operates. You are actually your own savior. In fact, in the Mormon temple, every man is given a secret name that only God supposedly knows, and he's given a secret name for his wife.
Okay.
The wife will never know the husband's secret name, but the only way that she can get out of the grave on the morning of the resurrection is if he personally is her savior and calls her out of the grave.
We're heading into our bottom of the hour break, folks. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. We have a lot more to consider, including some of the other inconsistencies that were discovered once folks got to Israel. Remember, this programming is posted to my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, on Sunday. Remember, just because truth is the new hate speech, you shouldn't stop telling it. Don't go away. Coming back in just a couple of minutes.
God is using Understanding the Times to help change lives all over the world. Rebecca writes from Portland, Oregon, "Everyone should hear the inconvenient truth Jan talks about. It enables me to discern the times." This from Peter in Washington State, "When I need a dose of reality that still offers hope, I tune in to Understanding the Times Radio." Jan Markell is committed to discerning the truth and sharing the good news. And while the gospel is free, the means to deliver it is not. Your gift to Understanding the Times is fully tax deductible and helps ensure that we're able to continue to reach people through radio and other media. You can send your gift to P.O. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or call 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Of course, you can always give safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org. Welcome back to Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. Here once again is Jan Markell.
And remember, Understanding the Times 2011 is just literally around the corner now, October 7th, 8th. Grace Church, Eden Prairie, southwest suburb of Minneapolis, will be featuring Joel Rosenberg, Brandon House, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Bill Koenig, Eric Barger. Yours truly will have a Friday night and all day Saturday. There's no charge. There's no registration. Just show up. For more details, you might want to get on the print newsletter list or the e-newsletter list. Get the e-newsletter on the website, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint. If you'd like the print newsletter, just call the office Monday through Friday, Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. And also, if you feel a little overwhelmed with the material today, you can always call and ask for CDs of the programming. Plus, it's posted to my website, as I said, on Sunday. Got a couple of products, including Ed Decker's book, My Kingdom Come, The Mormon Quest for Godhood. Get that at my website or his. Mine is olivetreeviews.org, and go to products, and you can go to his website, saintsalive.com, for far more than just one book. And then I made a DVD with Jack Kinsella, Mark Hitchcock, and others, Jonathan Burness, guest host. Let's see, that was Jewish Voice broadcast in just a couple of years ago in Phoenix. How Late is the Hour? It's a panel discussion that's also at my website, olivetreeviews.org. Get more info about Jack's Omega Letter at omegaletter.com, omegaletter.com. Off air, we were having a little chat here, and Heidi verbalized something, and I think you should go ahead and say it to millions of people.
I am trying to bring myself from the listener's perspective, being a listener's advocate here. And I've heard a lot of what's been said here this morning already. And Ed, Glenn gets up at a conference. He gets on the TV. He was seen a couple years ago on 700 Club. He gives me all the right verbiage. He tells me he's accepted Christ as his Savior. He tells me he's born again. He tells me he prayed to receive Christ. And he gets up in front of Jack and weeps because people don't believe he's a Christian. Now, I love Glenn. I love Glenn's political stand. I would be against his Mormonism. Why is him giving me all the right verbiage not true?
Well, he has a heart for God, but not according to knowledge, as the Bible says. He is as sincere as you can be. When I became a born-again Christian, I thought I was going to be the greatest Mormon I could be. And when I went back and started talking to the people in the church about being born again and that I gave my life to Jesus and that I'm saved by grace, I was excommunicated. Beck is not being excommunicated because he's fulfilling a higher calling, and he may be born again. I can't judge the man, but he was at a church speaking and just recently and talked about that he loved Jesus, he was born again, and he added to that that every day he works on his own salvation. That's the catch on Mormonism. You're saved, you're raised up from the grave by what Jesus did on the cross, but you work out your own salvation. So he says he's saved. I have to remind you that the church is working very hard to be mainstream.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In spite of all their history. Yeah. They have a huge PR movement, putting ads all over the country about how normal and generally, just like the guy next door, the Mormon people are. They're getting ready to see Romney pushed to become president. The church wants that. I am sure that Beck sat down with the brethren in Salt Lake City and got some marching orders on what he's to do and to continue his work in the conservative areas. But also, Beck has a heart, a warm, complete, giving heart to reach the people in the United States with the truth that he has learned about the real gospel of Jesus Christ, which is Mormonism. And that, of course, is replacement theology on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
So he keeps mixing these things up.
And so to bring this back to Jack's trip, Jack comes in with the kind of position that I just presented, and he steps on Israeli ground, gets on the bus, and the first thing they ask is, who wants to go see this Mormon university? So he's belying what he's presenting.
Well, yeah, I mean, but again, he's not doing it out of hatred. He's doing it to love people. You got to remember that every Mormon who joins the Mormon Church or is born in the Mormon Church has Israeli blood. When you go into the waters of baptism and have the receipt of the Holy Ghost, I was taught, as every Mormon was, that my blood was converted, physically converted to Jewish blood. And later on, I found out that I was of the house of Manasseh. Well, for this one, it was kind of interesting because I already was a Jew and in the Levitical line. And I asked my bishop, how could my Levitical blood be converted to blood of Ephraim? And he just got in my face and told me to shut up and don't. And I was seeking apostasy by even talking about the great mystery. So the Mormons think they are not only the true Christians, but they are the true Jew. And that's what he was doing undercover.
Okay.
In Israel was sanctifying the Holy Land as a speaker for the true Jewish blood.
Jack, let's go back to your trip. I want to fine tune some questions that I have from you, because you spotted some things pretty quickly. I think you felt there perhaps was a financial irregularity going on, something disingenuous. What was that?
Oh, there was a lot of funny things going on with money. First off, the tour itself was $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, I led a tour to Israel 2 years ago. It was less than half of that, and we went more places, and we didn't get downgraded. So there was, that was funny to begin with. When we got to Tiberias, that's when we found out we weren't staying in the hotel that we had booked or we were supposed to be staying in. They had switched us to another hotel, which was terrible. Then when we got to Jerusalem, we weren't staying. We found this out as we were climbing the hill into Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
They switched our hotels, and we weren't staying in that one. We were staying in another hotel, which also was terrible. Right before we left, everybody got an email from the travel agency saying that U.S. Airways had added a $500 per ticket surcharge to the fee, and everybody had to come up with a little over $1,000 more in order to go on it, or forfeit 20% of what they had already paid, which was more than $1,000. It was that kind of stuff going on. It just didn't. I went to somebody else's guest, although I paid the $1,000. But I went to somebody else's guest. I can imagine what it must have been like for someone who had scraped together all that they had and borrowed some more in order to make it happen, and then got hit with another $1,000. I saw some of those people. They were the ones that didn't eat lunch.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You said some folks were a little bit shattered and disillusioned. I mean, other than yourself, you indicated that this was kind of a stream throughout a lot of people, that They were reacting.
There were quite a few people that were pretty upset with the way it was done. They weren't too happy with the deception. And some of them felt the same way I did as we left Caesarea, that, you know, it was a night to honor Glenn Beck.
Okay.
And really didn't have a lot to do with Israel. Mostly didn't have, and there was a spiritual unease over the whole place, because it just, and that maybe was just me, but it just didn't seem right. There's too much going on, and none of it was pointed, and none of it really had anything to do with Jesus. It was really bizarre. I can't quite put words to it.
Well, yes, but as you say, this wasn't necessarily promoted to be emphasizing walking where Jesus walked, or was that an emphasis?
To my understanding, it was a tour of Israel that wasn't supposed to necessarily be a Christian tour or a religious tour. It was just a tour of Israel. I mean, it's in the last time I went, we had a Jewish guide. It wasn't a Christian tour, but it was better because we had a Jewish guide and I didn't have to worry about doctrinal issues.
Yeah, and I think
assumed that's what they did this time, and they didn't.
And I think perhaps you had maybe a Greek Orthodox emphasis, Catholic / Greek Orthodox.
It was so Greek Orthodox that even all the gift shops that we went to, except for the Mormon one, all the other gift shops, everything was in Greek.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought that was kind of bizarre. If you wanted to buy anything to take home, it was all written in Greek.
And apparently the tour guide said that these folks were following a false prophet.
That's what he said right at the end. I think he was talking to one of the Mormons that was in our group. I heard it as I was passing by, and I turned and I said, what did he say? He had told her, he said, I think you're following a false prophet.
That being Glenn.
That being Glenn, yeah. You know, the emotions ran pretty high against Glenn Beck the whole time that we were there. You know, and we nearly got into a scuffle with another tour group and the House of Caiaphas, because that tour guide got upset that we were with the Glenn Beck tour. So, I mean, he was a Palestinian tour guide.
Okay.
But, I mean, that was sort of the sentiment. There was just a general uneasy sense of, who are you and what are you doing here, every place we went. And the being a Greek Orthodox tour to begin with, two-thirds of the places we went to, the emphasis was all on Mary and various Catholic theological points that weren't necessarily the sort of things that we would have spent as much time on.
But you did say that there was a Mormon element, a thread through the tour, and there were some Mormon people, perhaps.
Oh, yes. We had Mormon
elders.
Minders on the buses.
Well, what's a Mormon minder?
Yeah, what's a Mormon minder?
Every time that we would, the discussion would come up and somebody would say something like, hey, does this have something to do with Mormons? One of them would run over and change the subject. Or if we started to get into a theological discussion about issues like, you know, salvation, a lot of people on the bus weren't saved. And I talked with a lot of them on the bus, and these people kept coming up and interfering all the time and interrupting. It was pretty bizarre. It was actually pretty obvious.
I'm going to play a clip here, and we've already referenced Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, actually featured, and we still need to discuss what on earth David Barton, what's going on in his head, even John Hagee, even Mike Evans, and we'll get there a little bit later. But there was a church service in Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, already been referenced. David Barton and Glenn were speaking about a week ago. And the following statement was made by Glenn.
Let us link arms of all faiths all around the globe and say, lies end here.
Okay, link arms, all faiths. Now, Jack, you and I and Heidi, bells and whistles go off when we hear things like that. What was your thought, Heidi?
Oh, yeah, big time. Ecumenical.
That was what prophet. It was all about in Caesarea. It was every opportunity that arose, it was link arms and we can all march together and we all worship the same God. There were buzzwords and catchphrases, and I mean it was really spooky. People would jump up and applaud on cue, and seeing 2,000 people doing that for those reasons was just. It was pretty spooky stuff. It was, all, like I said, it was all ecumenical.
Jack and Sola, what is your take on, let's start with the participation of David Barton. David seems to be some sort of a John the Baptist going ahead of Glenn, trying to make him kosher with the evangelical community. What is your take on this?
Well, I've known of David Barton. I don't know him personally, but I've known of him for 20-odd years. And you know, he's a really good American historian in a lot of ways, but he tends to downplay certain realities, like, you know, Thomas Paine was a theist and things like that. After he appeared on Glenn Beck one time, all of a sudden David Barton's books all shot to number one for the first time ever. That's my take on it.
Ed, how about you?
Well, you know, Brandon House talked to him a couple of times about this whole thing of Glenn Beck and being born again and so forth, and David just basically said, as I remember the conversation, I'm not going to question when a man says he's saved, he's saved. And the thing about it is that David doesn't show any discernment of knowledge of what saved really means, apparently. And he's sitting there arm in arm with a guy who's wearing special occult undergarments under his regular clothes and has no discernment of that. That has occult talismanic markings on the undergarment, as I wore also, and you would think that a spiritual leader would have the discernment to ask a couple of more questions beyond "Are you born again?" and getting a yes. When I talk to Mormons and they say they're born again, I ask them a few more questions. Well, how did you get to be born again? Well, I called Jesus my Savior. Well, what does that mean to you? You get two or three questions out, and the whole thing falls apart. And then you can see the difference between the Mormon definition of the term and the Christian definition of the term. They use the same words, but they have totally different meanings. And David and the others don't seem to want to go beyond that first level.
Well, my take is that David Barton is sort of the front man saying, this is my friend Glenn, the evangelical Christian. You can be a Christian and you can be a Mormon at the same time. And what we believe is so similar, we shouldn't be having disagreements. Heidi, would that be something you have picked up on as well, of a sentiment with David?
Absolutely. And, you know, what grieves me is I've prayed for Glenn to really get saved. I've prayed that people like David Barton and other Christians that have been on his show or who he's connected with, John Hagee, Mike Evans, whoever you want to, you know, mention, that they would be able to actually witness to him, and they have that inside, but they're not,
right.
It seemingly, they're not taking it. They're just assuming his salvation and moving on, and that grieves my heart.
Yeah, I totally concur with what Heidi has just said, 100%. Folks, if you join me late, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, your host. I have online Ed Decker from the West Coast, and he's with Saints Alive, saintsalive.com, former Mormon. Ed, I keep wanting to say former Muslim, and that's another angle we could talk about maybe second
There's
hour.
There's a lot of comparisons.
There's some comparisons. Yeah. And from an undisclosed location is Jack Kinsella. That's omegaletter.com. Jack was present on the Restoring Courage tour, which was back in August. And Jack went as an invited guest of friends. And once he got there, he sort of had his eyes open and didn't realize exactly what he had walked into. He does now. We thank God that you went, Jack, because some of the things you're sharing is just so important for the body here. So we've been talking for almost an hour on these issues. We're going to continue to do that. We will go into the second hour. And let me say quickly, too, if you don't get hour two, you can get it on my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can always order a CD or CDs of the 2 hours. Just call my office Monday through Friday, Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. I also have some more sound bites I want to play. And Ed Decker, you say this, and now is you're referring to the participation of Mike Evans in all of this. And I know Mike. I've even been in his home on the East Coast some years ago. And but you say that as Mike was out there on the stage with Glenn, You say Dr. Evans seems to be oblivious to the fact that the Mormons recently changed the temple ritual to a kinder, less confrontational view of Christian pastors and leaders. Mike Evans himself was looked upon by the Becks of Mormonism as a hireling of Satan, still is in their mind and core doctrine. Beck just didn't tell Evans to his face that he is a pawn of the devil. Or the Book of Mormon teaches that all churches other than Mormonism are the great and abominable church. Okay, so Mike, probably not aware of some of these things, just like Jack went, and all of these fine-tuning things weren't real clear until you kind of get back and do a little study on it.
Well, that's kind of interesting because the thing that I subscribe to his newsletter, Mike Evans' newsletter, and I got an email from him while he was over there, and then just as they were getting ready to leave, he sent another email out to his list, and in that email he said that he and Glenn Beck were standing there together, and they were praying, you know, calling down, you know, God's blessing upon Israel, and standing against the powers and principalities together, mm-hmm. and it just hit me like a brick, because when I was a Mormon, as Glenn is, and went through the Mormon temple as Glenn did. After I had gone through the whole ritual of the Mormon temple, we end up going through the Great White Veil into the celestial room, and there we go through a sealing ceremony, and a part of what is sealed upon them, and myself included, and Beck included, was the powers and principalities were sealed upon us. We walk out of there, you know, with our sacred talismanic marking undergarments to wear the rest of our lives every day, and having had the powers and principalities sealed upon us. So then Mike is there praying. He's thinking about the powers and principalities as the things that we war against, according to Ephesians 6. Beck is there talking about the powers and principalities as a good thing sealed upon him and gives him the authority to bless and sanctify Israel to the final chapter of the Mormon plan, which is that they are the true Jews and Israel is their inheritance.
Okay, we still
it's
need
mind-boggling.
To... Yeah. Folks, if you're overwhelmed, again, I encourage you to listen to the replays that all... we have 416 radio outlets. Many of them replay the program. Again, you can get a CD by calling us. We need to get to the White Horse Prophecy, and we will do that because that may possibly tie into Mitt Romney. We're going to do that when we get back top of the hour. I also have some emails. This is on Olive Tree Ministry Facebook. We'll get to more of them later. It says, thanks to you, Jan, and Jack Kinsella also. That's because I sent out Jack's e-alert, his e-newsletter, which told about a lot of this. And you can do that by going to omegaletter.com. And she says, we have shared this and will continue to do so, praying many will realize that they have been deceived. Got another email, though, a little different tone, so they're not all kudos. He says, Lee says, because of the distorted and bold-faced twisting of the Glenn Beck event in the face of every warning in the Bible against jealousy, bearing false witness, and so forth, I am disconnecting from your evil website. And the same for Brandon House, who spends Bible capital in an attempt to destroy. Have your own events in Israel rather than condemn someone who actually did something. Lucifer owns you. Well, hope that's not true, but again, we've been trying to do this with a softer tone, and again, no one interested in bashing Glenn, for we appreciate the good points about him. Another one writes on our Facebook, I am just glad the Omega people went only because they could testify to what has been going on for way too long. Glad we were able to expose them with grace and so candid. I am thankful for Jack's article. Pass it on. Well, we want you to pass on this program. Get a couple of CDs. We're going to be back at the top of the hour. Again, my 400 station CSN Network, you get hour 2 on Sunday, exact same time. So we're going to be returning at the top of the hour. Encourage you to not go away and do not touch that dial.
If Jan Markell's radio outreach has helped you understand the times, would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries? You could write to Box 1452, that's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, or call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can also order and donate securely at olivetreeviews.org. And thanks for listening to Understanding the Times.